We are live back on the Be About It show. And you know what? I had to make sure that we're going to be coming in with a whole lot of African Ubuntu. Bring that vibe into the studio because we've got our beautiful African sister who is bringing the heat, the vibes. I don't know if you're excited for this, but I'm just so excited to bring one of our own. You know, we say one of our own. That means a sister in the studio. And her name is Diao Aban Kamau Ajakyo. What a name. What a name. And, you know, I just love the fact that she's here to speak more about the FAO Wellness Community Day that's happening this coming Saturday, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's going down at the Newland Community Center. But before we get into the mist, I'm going to pass the mic over to our beautiful sister here to introduce herself, her incredible bio, by the way, and also the amount of mahi she's doing in the community. Welcome to the show, Queen.
Thank you for having me. Hi, everyone. I'm Dodge Aban Kamea Ajakyo. I'm 21 years old, originally from South Sudan. However, I was born in the Middle East in Syria. I came to New Zealand when I was like 11 months. So I've been here for like 20 years now. I'm currently a health student at AUT, majoring in health management. Can thankfully say that I'm in my last semester.
Woo!
Thank you. It's been a long journey, but we're finally here. The reason I chose to study health management is because I wanted to create change within the healthcare system and to improve health outcomes for underrepresented communities. I think it's very important and necessary to have diverse voices and especially people of color in leadership and decision-making roles to ensure that our needs and our experiences are actually understood and represented in the healthcare sector. I'm also with NZACHS, the New Zealand African Community Health Services, as a community engagement coordinator. For those who don't know about NZACHS, we are a charitable organization that was created to meet the unmet needs of our African population in Aotearoa and to bridge the gap in the healthcare system to improve health outcomes for our people.
Sis, you know that intro was just kind of like when Martin Luther King was giving the speech. You know what I mean? Like, we're here with all of that. We're all about all of that. And I just have to say, this is why I do what I do. Because we love bringing in the community voices. And I just love and so inspired, truly saying that, not just for radio.
I appreciate
by
that.
Our sisters that are out there bringing, making, creating, and embracing the change we want to see in the community. First of all, my sister, how has it been for you studying this, but also with your goal and aspiration of bringing the underrepresentation to light? That's incredible. I just, you lost me there.
To be honest, it hasn't been easy. I feel like the system in general, the overall system, especially the health system, is not really designed for our people. And especially a person like me who's a bit like, I'm not really out there. So for me to actually speak on behalf and advocate on behalf of my people, I've kind of had to become comfortable in those type of spaces and putting myself out there. And unfortunately, we don't really have the support of other people, other organizations around us. So you kind of have to, I guess you kind of just, you have to stand your ground and be strong, I guess, because it's like, if no one's going to do it for our people, like who is, you know, exactly. So like, I feel like, it's really important to also have like the support of our community as well, because like it is really hard to do it alone, I guess. And sometimes you kind of do get discouraged because it's like, oh, there's no support. I feel like we can't do this. It's not going to work out and stuff like that. But I think the end goal of improving health outcomes in general and seeing our people more represented in the health sector, I think that's what pushes me to continue going. So, yeah.
I just love it. And you know what? It's done and said with so much confidence. Like, you know, the representation, the heat, the fire, girl, the hair as well. Like, you guys see what the, but you will be seeing how this queen is looking. Like, she's coming through full swing.
I'll stop that.
Boom. 360. But I love that. And, you know, what inspired you to get into this work? Before we get into the event, I know all of that's coming through, but what really inspired you to, like, this is what I want to do, and this probably someone that you saw, or it's something that you've seen growing up, or it's some, you know, for us, inspiration is drawn by so many things.
Mm.
Sometimes we see something, an incident that's happened on the bus, on the train, or you're at an event. But what was that turning point for you, my sister, when you said, this is what I want to get into, and this is the mahi I want to do?
Yeah, so to be honest, during high school, I always knew that I wanted to do something within the health sector. And initially, I started with a bachelor's in just health science, the individual pathway. But over time, I had like family members and people around me who started like developing health issues and stuff. And I kind of saw like the experiences and the way they got treated within the health system as well. Like just not being taken serious,
right,
their voices not being heard, constantly being like dismissed and like, you know. So I was like, okay, this is not going to work out. So that kind of encouraged me to think about how I can start like bridging those gaps and like figuring out how we can improve and like encourage the health system to actually start listening to us, basically. So yeah, it was, to be honest, it was basically seeing people around me and what they like, the experiences they went through. And for a lot of them, they don't really understand the healthcare system, or they don't know how to navigate it. So I feel like we need people there for that, and people there to like advocate on their behalf. You know, as I said before, like it's really important. People who are making these decisions about us, who don't even understand us, are the ones making decisions for us, which really doesn't make sense to me. So I feel like in order for us to actually be genuinely understood, for people to understand our culture, our values, which is really important for health as well, I feel like we need someone like our own people in that area. So I was like, yeah, I think that's what I want to do. And I feel like from a management perspective, I'd like to start the change from the top, if that makes sense.
Right.
I feel like, yeah, it's not, it's a pretty like top down approach. So I feel like, yeah, the change has to come from the top, you know? Yeah. And also having a dad who was also in like,
oosh.
Yeah, high leadership role as well. I feel like I kind of took some things off him as well, and he's also like an advocate on behalf of minority communities. So I feel like I kind of connected with him through that as well. But for me, it's through a health pathway. So yeah,
I love that, and I'm literally just buzzing out because I'm putting this right on it. This is what we do. We're doing like three things at once because I want everyone to really hear the kōrero. If you hear what this sister is saying, we have many people in position that don't know what's going on with the actual community.
And they don't even, it's like they don't even talk to them. There's no like relationship building. There's no trust. They're just making decisions based on what they think, if that makes sense, without actually like talking to the community, which, and then that way obviously they're not actually genuinely helping them because it's like you're not hearing what they need, you know. So yeah, it's really crazy. It's really crazy.
I hear you, sis. And you know what, I just always am inspired by, one, you're young, two, you're advocating at such a young age, and just to see like this growth, this movement that we're seeing is real beautiful, because this is what I'm talking about, man. This is what I'm talking about. And you know, you being a part of NZACHS, how has that been? What is this organization all about? Just for our community that aren't aware of it, before we merge into this empowering event that's happening on Saturday.
Yeah, so the NZACHS is about like meeting the unmet needs of African health populations in Aotearoa. As I said, we don't really have a voice in that space. And I feel like a lot of people, especially ones who like come new to this country, or even the ones who have been here for a long time, they don't really understand the health system. And I get it, it's pretty hard to navigate as well. Mm. So we're kind of there to help our people navigate the health system with whatever help they need, whether that's through health promotion, health navigation. We also do educational workshops throughout the year. Like we try to do it every month just to teach people. We do different topics like preventative health, diabetes, cancer awareness, many, many topics. And then, of course, we also have our health expo that we do at the end of the year, which is like a big event where we have many health organizations, information stalls, performances, music, food, just a lot of things going on just for people to come and learn more about health. And yeah, we're just taking it one step at a time. It is hard. It's not easy. We're still we're still getting there. But yeah, it's definitely a start.
You know what, sis? I'm just excited and I can't wait to see the many things that you're going to be doing in the community. And it brings me to this Vow Community Wellness Day with an African twist. So, you know, when we add that twist, it's tangible. It's not just the twist. You're actually going to be twisting on that day. And we bring the vibes on it as well. But my sister, please speak more about this event that's happening this coming Saturday, Fano.
So the Vow Community Wellness Day is it's about community, well-being, connection, culture, with it being Africa Month as well. Happy Africa Month to everyone.
Hey, yeah.
We definitely wanted to include the African culture into this event, with it also being around mental health. We wanted to kind of, we have a very, very, very important presentation. It's actually titled My Culture, My Strength, Supporting Our Wellbeing. Yay. So it talks about mental health, what mental health means in different cultures, how you can use your culture as a strength to support your wellbeing. And then we also have so many other things going on as well. We have kids' activities, health information stalls, cultural performances, live music, hula fit as well.
You know, we are there for the twist.
For anyone who's wanting to move their bodies, we have a photo booth. There's a lot of things going on. But yeah, we generally wanted to just bring people together to connect, to learn about mental health, especially with a topic like that. It's not talked about in a lot. Many communities, especially our African communities as well, mental health is not a conversation that's had enough. And I can understand it is difficult for many families and many communities. So yeah, we kind of just want to bring that aspect in a positive and engaging way and kind of just open up that conversation about mental health.
And that's the thing. Sometimes when someone says mental health, we all automatically think westernized word.
Literally, literally.
We're just kind of like, exactly. People are really scared of the actual
That's like
word.
A heard, unheard, let's leave that to the side, you know?
Yeah. Exactly, because even with me, when someone says, like, I'm always having chats with the cis member, like, you know, in regards to, she works in that sector, you know, with community, and you work in that sector. Sometimes the word mental health
scares
the community. We say Ubuntu, like it's like uplifting, and that's why I love the twist that you're making. Is your cultural ethnic background is your strength,
exactly?
And is that some of the things that, like, the organization you are doing, which is so successful, by the way, breaking those barriers in a way that makes it like normal? How do we look at health in a way that's healthy for our community to engage? You know, so it's so hard sometimes when you don't know what's going through the mind of some young people because of the word. Do you have mental health issues? When you say that, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I'm another statistic. We don't can't relate with that word. Sometimes it's the word, Asus.
It's like assumed as a negative thing straight away, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So I feel like, especially like young people growing up, I guess, in like ethnic communities or ethnic households, it's just like they kind of just. You just mental health, turn that off. Like, that's not even a thing, you know? And then that's obviously really unhealthy because then, like, growing up, you don't know how to navigate your emotions, your feelings. You don't even talk about it, which is really, really unhealthy. And for a lot of kids, they're not really given the space to talk about mental health. And I do understand, like, I give our parents some grace as well because back home, that's not really a thing.
That's not a thing.
As well. So I don't really blame them, but I think it's important for parents now to at least start understanding that concept of mental health and, like, creating a space where your kids feel comfortable enough to talk about that before it actually could get worse and lead to things like anxiety, depression, and stuff like that. So we would love if this event, like, especially parents, just to feel more opened about it and more approachable to that conversation, because I think that would be really beneficial for like upcoming generations as well. So
And sis, you know, you've got empowering parents, like Uncle Aban. Hey, just do my move like this. He don't play about the culture. That's one uncle that is just like, hey,
definitely
don't play with my people, because we, and you know, that's a monument to the work that he's done with research and with community. And I love when he talks, because it's like an equal equilibrium between the culture that he's being brought up with, but also being an African Kiwi, and how they merge the two together. So when he's talking, my ears open, and I can hear that through your kōrero as well, like through your chat as well, sis. And I wanted to hear from your perspective, being young, African, and a Kiwi, you know, the Afro-Kiwi twist. What was it like for you merging the two when it comes to health, wellness, well-being? Like, were you always brought up with parents who were understanding of knowing, like, who you are and what you do and being in a different kind of, like, dynamic growing up as a, you know, proud black girl in a society where it's got New Zealand values, New Zealand narrative, but balancing the both? How was like? How was that for you, sis? How you navigate yourself?
It's pretty confusing, to be honest, because I feel like, obviously, with my parents coming to New Zealand, a whole new country, they've got so many new things to learn as well. So I feel like, obviously, trying to learn the culture of New Zealand and also trying not to forget the culture of back home and stuff was like really hard. So I feel like it was hard for them to like they were very cultural, like definitely for sure, but then it's like you have like your culture at home and then you go out and you're like a Kiwi and stuff like that. And for me, I always felt like I was either never Kiwi enough or I was never African enough, if that makes sense.
Girl, I hear you.
Because growing up here, it's like, obviously, up until 2019, I had never been like back home, and I only learnt about my culture through my parents.
Yeah.
So like when I went back home, it was like, you know, they call you like the white girl, whatever. Like a koala. They call you like a koala, basically. No, exactly. And I was like, oh, and then you come here and then it's like, oh, you're too African. And I'm like, so I don't even know, like, can't even find a middle ground. I don't know what to be, because it's like you need to, of course, you don't want to lose your culture, but at the same time, you're adapting to being in a New Zealand environment. So it was really confusing. In terms of health, though, I think, with the I guess the Western world, they're very like biomedical type situation.
It's like, here's a Panadol.
Yeah, exactly. But for us, I think it's more about like your physical, your mental, your overall well-being and stuff like that. For us, it wasn't really like, oh, like even like going to the doctors and stuff like that, it was just like, oh, okay, like it's not that deep, I guess. And I feel like African people are really resilient, and with what they went through back home, they know how to like deal. They're very strong, they know how to deal with stuff. So it's kind of like when we came here, like, oh, okay, you scratch, like you fall down and scratch your knee, oh, we need to take you to the doctors. My parents are like, it's really not that deep for real. It's really not that deep for real. So yeah, a lot of times my parents were like, you'll actually be fine, like there's no need to go to the doctors. But then it's like, okay, here it's like, if you don't take your child to the doctors, it's like you're neglecting them and stuff like that. So I think it was hard for my parents to kind of like balance that, I guess. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure out being an African Kiwi, but still trying to like stay
true,
to my culture, my identity. And it is really hard, low-key, because I feel like as a young person, especially as a minority, if you don't know yourself, it's very easy for people to try to change you and tell you who you are. So I feel like it's really important to know your identity, know your culture, know where you come from, who you are, because if not, like, you can easily just be like changed by others, you know?
100%, sis. And like, you know, I love the fact that you are speaking it from an honest view, because I think a lot of our, you know, we've got Africa Day coming up, we've got all these beautiful events, by the way, that are coming up within our community, and it needs to be addressed in a way that is on a weekly base, like what's happening from that basis that's coming from this side, that side, from this lens, from a health lens, sporting lens, music and arts. Like, I was at the Brother Aaron's event last week for New Zealand Music Month. And it's just like, how do we make these conversations mold in with everything else that's happening? And like, is that a goal for NZACHS to keep doing things throughout the whole year that will bring that normalcy back into the, well, it's already in, but like an everyday, every week thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, even though we're mainly like a health organization, as an African organization, I think it's important for us to stay connected to other organizations as well, and for us to, like, you know, build each other up. I think there's a lot of work we can do if we actually, like, connect and work together. But we definitely want to make our work something that's not just like on a monthly basis thing or whatever. Like, we want to have things always going on and stuff like that. So yeah, I just think that sometimes we're in our community, it is a bit hard to, like, I guess, like, connect with some people. I don't know, it can be difficult sometimes. I won't get too much into that.
Speak your truth, girl.
Yeah, but no, we're trying our best. There's a lot of great other organizations out there. I think we just need to start having that conversation more, start connecting more, and start seeing each other, like, less as competition, but more as, like, you know, working together so that we can all rise up, I guess. Yeah.
I get it. And, you know, I just love the fact that you're here in the studio. And this event, how what's happening on the day? Who's going to be there? What stores are going to be there? And also the performances that are going to be happening on the day as well.
Okay, so obviously we'll start the day with a welcoming. I forgot Loki, like, the actual order. But we have Dana, who's a midwife, African midwife. She's originally from Cameroon, who will be delivering this mental health presentation. We also have another African AUT lecturer who will also be giving another, what's it called, presentation as well. We have some African groups. We also have, like, a Chinese dance group as well who's going to be performing.
Love that.
Yeah, we have some live music, DJ obviously playing some African music. We have a few health organizations like Planke, Positive Woman. We also have Free Air Checks as well. They'll be there too. I think overall we have like 9 organizations that people can just go and talk to and stuff like that. We'll have kids play, kids activities, of course, you bringing our hula fit into it. Very excited for that. And then, yeah, of course, we have our photo booth as well for people to take photos, something different, something fun, you know, for the people. But yeah, overall, it's just like a family-friendly, fun event for people to come enjoy, connect, learn, feel supported, feel seen. So yeah,
love it. And for those that are tuning in as well, I'm just enjoying my chat with my sister here, because I think, like, when it comes to interviews, we tend to, like, you know, put on a, this is what I want to say, this is what I want to do. So I'm so happy that you broke it down in a way that, like, this is you navigating your space as a Kiwi African in Aotearoa. And also, what is wellness all about, you know, from the lens of you going into, like, a normal day. And I think with Wellness Day, it's, yep, specifically for African community with an African twist. But it's also, how do we come up with ways to target our community where you're not the victim, but, or, you know, you're not the... Because some people like to just stay in their houses and just deal with it. Just like you know, your
suffer
bottle
in silence type situation.
Just put the lid on. And that's it.
No, for real, yeah.
And I just love the amount of knowledge I'm learning from you, sis, today. And the wisdom that you're dropping is gems, you know, it's gems. And with your, like, sis, and your experience coming from African youth, now I just want a little bit on the African youth. What's something that you always see within our African youth that they tend to, like, mold and bold into, but they don't really express? Because for me, being Afro-Pacific, we have so many Pacific events that are happening, Polyfest, Pacifica. There's always an event happening, like, every single week. The thousands of kids that come into that event, and it's not really a way that they're seeing how they're targeting their wellness, their well-being, because you're just entering. And I always see it every year. I just always think of it. It's like thousands of youth, just like Africa Day, thousands of youth are coming in. But how are we noticing patterns of their, like, while they're there? Because I think that's one thing that I've always wanted to see from health platforms, is how we targeting the youth. May not be in a club or may not be in an event, because, you know, I mean, majority of them are hanging there to deal with their wellness.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, I always try tapping, like, man, they're probably having a good time. So, they, you know, they're enjoying themselves, and sometimes they do it. But it's like, how do we get those statistics to put in a way, like, these are our people, this is what we need to break down. Like, what's your view on that? Just because I always think of numbers, man, when it comes to, the, like, major events. Like, whoa, thousands of youth came in? Okay, how did we help them? Like, you know, how do we get a solution to them being at that event? But I want to hear from your perspective on that.
Yeah, I feel like youth can low-key be not forgotten about, but they're not really... We don't really have our own space,
right,
if that makes sense. And I've seen, like, in a lot of communities as well, it's like, for example, me wanting to be, like, going into these, like, leadership roles and stuff. Our youth, we have so many great ideas, so many different things that we'd like to bring into the community and things for us, you know? But we kind of, you kind of get shut down from, like, the elders. And it's a bit hard because I feel like in our African culture, it's like, you know, you respect your elders. And of course, you know, we understand that, but then also, like, respect goes both ways. Yeah, and I just feel like they don't really, like, hear us out for real. And it's, like, just, like, a quick shutdown. So that can be really discouraging. And I've also seen, like, in my community and other communities as well, as you said before, like, they go through so many issues. Just growing up as an African kid, as a black kid in New Zealand, it's actually
it's like
the ghetto.
Traumatizing.
No, for real, it's not easy at all. So we have so many things that we're actually silently going through,
yep,
that we obviously, of course, don't talk about. And then they start, instead of, like, dealing with it in, like, a proper and healthy way, they start branching out into things like alcohol, drugs, this, and it's actually really, really sad to see.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of, like, you can see there's a cry for help. Like, you can actually see this cry for help.
You can see it.
Because it gets to a point where it's like drinking every single week.
Damn.
Out every single week. Never at home. And it's like, usually, like, of course our parents are like, oh, okay, they're just being naughty, they just don't listen, they just this, they just that
health.
But it's actually a cry for help.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually going through something that our parents are not really seeing. So I feel like there needs to be more understanding, mm-hmm, and communication on that. So I feel like if we were given the chance to put our energy and our time into more things that are for us, like, that things that would uplift and empower us, I feel like there would be less, I guess, time spent on other things, like those really bad things and stuff like that. And I feel like it would also create a space for young people as well to talk about. Obviously, we don't really talk about it to, like, the wider community or our elders or whatever. So for us to just be able to talk amongst ourselves about, like, because I'm sure we've shared a lot of similar experiences. So for us to be able to talk about that, to just time to connect, especially with our African, like, our own African people, because I feel like, especially with the youth, it's a bit segregated, I feel like, a little. So
yeah.
I feel like it would be nice for us to just, like, come together more regularly, have more events that are actually, like, catered to us, hear what we want, hear what we need to say, and hear what would, like, work for us, because, again, I feel like we're just kind of forced to just follow after, you know, the ones before us, and it's like low-key not working. So I feel like, yeah, we definitely need to make change in that, and definitely having the conversation more about mental health and our overall well-being as well, and how we can start how we can start to take care of that. So yeah,
I love that. You know, for those that are tuning in, we've literally got two more minutes before we wrap up for today. I'm excited because I had no idea you had mana and, you know, this kōrero in you, my girl. And you need to come out. Like, my thing for you is you need to be sitting on that whatever board needs to be sitting on for the ethnic community to hear this, because this is just one platform. But I'm going to take a video for those that are tuning in right now, and I want you to hear the words of this Wahine Toa, Queen Tings. It's exactly what we need in our community, and I don't play when it comes about leadership that we need within our community, because this is exactly what we need, my sisters, because you're identifying what's happening with our youth, and I wish I get to see more of this on Africa Day, you know, to be honest, because I vibe, like, that's the reason why I love vibing on the day, is going to dance and whoa, yeah.
No, it's a vibe for sure.
Let me shake this. But then it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's another part of our African community that's hidden, you know. And I feel like what will make it even more empowering is if we have the two, like, boom, someone just like, you know, oh, you need to be on that mic on the day. That's what I'm saying. You know, to speak about this because it's stuff that we need. And we got 10 seconds right now. Oh, and wow. All I have to say is come to the event on Saturday. All yes, the fire. Please.
We'd love to see you
so
there.
So much love. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank it you is for a Be About It show. Kakits.